and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. So please listen to us on your platform of choice. Tell your friends about us and everything. Also, we have recently launched a YouTube channel where we are going to have trailers for episodes. We're going to be putting full episodes up on there. We have Tales from a Space Dumpster, which is our Power Ranger review series, and maybe some other things coming as well. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, podcast named Tim. And of course, we have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. I think that is all of the big plugs I have to get. Today's episode, we're in the first week of October, so we're doing all horror movies for October. Blackula, Night of the Lepus, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors for this week. With that being said, I am Zach. How are you today, good sir, Dad?
Fantastic.
Well, good. As I said, we have launched a YouTube channel. I'm looking here right now. We're on the road to 100. We need everyone, if you listen to this podcast, to go to YouTube and hit subscribe and then hit that little bell, too. We're trying to hit that hard and do a lot more stuff there. So what have you been watching other than these lovely movies this week?
You caught me off guard. I wasn't going straight to that. What have I been watching? The Boys is back, so I've been watching The Boys.
Are they back in town?
They are back in town. I'm telling you, that is slowly becoming my favorite show. I mean, not of all time, but right now. The violence is just beautiful, and it's nonstop, and the cursing is great, and the overall guys in superhero costumes not being so great, they're mm-hmm. complete pieces of shit. I love that whole philosophy, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Marvel universe and DC and blah, 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 good guy, kiss the babies and blah, blah. Just, no. Make people's heads explode because you can. That's what I'm talking about. Also started two new shows. Next.
Okay.
It's on Fox. It's right up your alley. It's AI taking over.
Ooh. I think I've seen those trailers, actually, so I know what you're talking about.
Got the guy from Mad Men in it, and it's mm-hmm. so far. I think only one episode's been up so far, and then maybe the presidential debate or something was on the next week. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't, that's all it's been on that one. But then I also started watching Utopia. Believe it was a British show too. Now mm-hmm. they brought it to Amazon Prime. It's about a comic book called Utopia
mm-hmm.
That is a follow-up to a dystopia comic book, and you got your nerds that just love it because it's a comic book and it's so rare and it's so hard to find because they don't mm-hmm. even really wrote it. And then you've got these people that have figured out that it's foretelling all of the plagues. Oh. It's, you know, when you decipher it, it's got all the little pandemics and stuff through the past in it. So they want it so they can solve and save people and figure out what's going on.
Interesting.
And other people. So, and then you got a whole, the course, the corporate people that are, you know, trying to get it to suppress things and all. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual. It's really cool. So I'm really liking those.
Well, I did not watch a lot this week. I don't know if I've told you about this. As you know, I'm very frugal. And
is that the word we're going with?
Yeah, that's what we're gonna go with. So at once a year, I sign up for a free trial of Marvel Unlimited, and I use that week to just catch up on all of the Star Wars comics from the last year. And so that's what I've been doing this week. I'm almost caught up. I think I have till the end of the day to read about another three series. So I take a week and I just hammer them all out, and then I'm like, all right.
Well, you got till 4:30, you better get on it.
Yeah, so I cancel and then I'm done, and then I read all my comics and we're all good. So But it's and some of them have been very good. So that's pretty much what I've been doing with my free time on top of doing a lot of the stuff for the YouTube, you know, recording the Power Rangers stuff and watching some of that. So hopefully next week, a lot more Yu Yu Hakusho to catch up on.
We did watch a couple of horror movies last night because, you know, that's October and Amy's all, the wife's all ready to watch some horror movies now. Nice. And Alex is now where he watches horror movies. So we watched Paranormal Activity.
Ooh.
To see if he liked it. He was definitely kind of creepy, whether he likes to say it or not. He was definitely a little leery a couple times. Saw his feet up on the couch. So,
right.
but he was, and it wasn't like terrifying to him, which and I get because we're not real big on the belief of paranormal stuff here in this house. But it was, you know, I enjoyed it this time, just the same as I did the first time. I liked it better in the theater, I think, but
yeah.
It was all right. It was a one of those found footage films that he kept saying, is this the Blair Witch? Is this the Blair Witch? And then we watched another one, but we'll talk about that one later, possibly.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Yeah, that's pretty much all I did this week, Star Wars comics, and work on the YouTube channel. So we're becoming much more edumacated on that. Learn about SEO and video editing and you know, all that stuff. So
we YouTubers.
We're coming on up in the world.
Can't wait to go live.
Yeah, well, eventually. eventually. So we'll get there. Well, anything else you wanted to hit on before we hop into these movies?
Nah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and do it. We're going to be starting with Blackula. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So Blackula came out in 1972, has a PG rating, actually, which I was surprised about. 1 hour and 33-minute runtime, 5.7 on the IMDb score, a 50 on the tomato meter, and a 43 from the audience score, which I was also surprised that the audience score wasn't higher than the tomato meter. It tells the story of an African prince who is turned into a vampire by Dracula, and basically finds himself in modern times. And, of course, stars William Marshall, also Vanita McGee, Denise Nicholas Thalamus. How do you say this guy's name? Dr. Gordon. Is Thalamus Rasulala? I don't know. Anyway, this was my selection for the week. I had never seen Blackula. I think you had mentioned you had seen it a long time ago. What did you think of the blaxploitation horror film Blackula?
I liked it.
I liked it too.
It was, you know, it was different for a blaxploitation film. It had all the points you had to do with it. It wouldn't be made today without a lot of cleanup of language.
Yeah.
Some of the language was a little insensitive, but that's
of the time.
It was of the time, so we just move on. Yeah, I kind of liked it. I think the biggest he was suave, and he had his, you know, he wasn't the meanest vampire we've ever had. He did what he had to do, but he was a little vigilante in a way. But
yeah.
I think the biggest thing that came out of it was, when I did the little research, I did not know that he was the king of cartoons from Pee Wee Herman.
I saw that as well, and I did not know that.
I watched Pee Wee Herman, and I saw that guy, and for some reason, I never connected that was Blackula.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. I thought this was a good blaxploitation. This movie had two challenges it had to do, and I think it did both well. It had to be a good blaxploitation film, and it had to be a good horror film. I think it's a better blaxploitation film than it is horror film.
Yeah.
But I think it still did very good with both. I loved Mr. Marshall. I thought, and I know we'll fight about this, I've only seen one Christopher Lee movie, But if you ask me who I would prefer to watch another movie of, I would say Blackula is over Dracula for me. William Marshall is above Christopher Lee in the pantheon of vampires in my book. And I know you will fight me on that, I'm sure. But what I thought was interesting was how that first scene with Dracula, that was such a really good scene. I liked the stuff afterwards, but I'm kind of sad that we didn't get more of Dracula because the two of them worked really well together.
Yeah.
And I thought in some respects, I mean, for the little camera time that he had, Dracula did a great job in, making it memorable. I love the music because, like I said, it felt like that blaxploitation era, you know, style of music, but it still felt kind of horror genre-y, which is probably a really hard needle to thread there. But I love the music in this. Like you said, he was kind of a resident. He didn't want to be a vampire, and he wanted to find his love interest and saw her future self. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't get why she was really buying it. I thought her side of it was a little weird, but
right.
The acting was okay.
Would have got Hammer if Hammer just would have loaned out Christopher Lee to have been Dracula and turned him in. I'd have been good to go. And I knew I was in for a good black exploitation film when one of the characters' name was Skillet.
Right.
If you don't have a skillet, a biscuit, or a ham bone in your movie, forget it. Turn it off.
We watched another blaxploitation earlier this year. What was it? One Down, Two to Go, which was not good at all, which was very disappointing.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was. I mean, I guess it was intended to be, but they definitely did not hit the mark of that.
Yeah.
Or any other thing.
Now, I know that this launched a lot of other blaxploitation horror-themed movies. I think they did a Frankenstein and a Mummy, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They hit the big ones. Have you seen any of those, and are those good?
I don't even know what you're talking about at this point. I really didn't know anything. I didn't know this had a sequel even until I researched it. And I'm definitely going to be looking up Scream, Blackula Scream, taking that in.
Is there anything you would hit it on?
I did not know that there were other... it makes sense because that's what Hollywood does whenever they get something that was... Because didn't I see that this actually was like a top grossing film?
Yeah, it was like, I think Variety said it was one of like the top 24 grossing films or something like that at one point.
That year, yeah. It did. it hit its audience and then must have got crossover audience as well. Yeah, what are some? I mean, I know some of the later ones, of course. Candyman and what's some of the other ones? There's another one that's really good like that. But did they actually make a Frankenstein?
I'm pulling it up right now. They made a few other ones.
Tell me, was it called Blackenstein, please?
It was called Blackenstein.
Oh, ouch.
So they made, there's, of course, like you said, Blackula Scream, which was a sequel. There was another movie called, American International was also planning a follow-up title, Blackenstein, but chose to focus on Scream, Blackula Scream. Blackenstein was eventually produced by Exclusive International Pictures. So there was, but it wasn't by the same crew. So I doubt it was probably handled.
I may have to look that up, though. Did you say they did a Mummy one, too?
I think I saw there was like a few other little
bombs.
I don't know. let's see. But yeah, it was really good. I really enjoy it.
It was a takeoff of the Mummy. It was called Auntie. Come on. You're from Hampton. You're from Bethlehem.
I thought this was really good. I would absolutely watch this again, and I would put this in a rotation.
I'd watch it again. I don't know if I'm going to put it in a rotation.
Because this is, to me, it's not as good as this, but it's kind of like Black Christmas, which I was very surprised how good that was. And I'm gonna, when we get to Christmas season again this year, I'm gonna watch Black Christmas again because it was that damn good.
I'm afraid to put it in any rotation because I know myself well enough to know I'll start picking it apart then. So I want to leave it as, oh, yeah, that was good, and then move on. I'm afraid if I start watching it again, I'll be like, eh, oh, yeah, he didn't do that, and he didn't do this, and that was boring. So I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay. So for a 70s movie, a good movie, yeah, and I think this won, oh, never mind, it's some nonsense award that it won. Okay. But, yeah. Absolutely recommend it. I'm trying to think. I will say, I thought some of the effects were pretty good. They just did a good job of making a good horror movie. And I was very surprised.
Okay, there is a takeoff of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay.
Or as they're calling Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde. But the movie was called The Watts Monster. So I guess he lived in Watts.
Sure.
Yeah, when a scientist develops a formula to regenerate dying liver cells, it turns him into an albino vampire with the taste for prostitutes. If that's not gold, it's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
I have a movie that I own, which is a very low-level production. It's a movie called Black Devil Doll. And I don't know if I've made you watch it or not, or if you've seen it. Okay. It's basically Chucky, but he's like a Black Panther instead. And it was fun. But this was actually, I mean, this wasn't cheesy, I would say. It was actually a quality movie.
Yeah.
And it could have easily stepped into cheese given the idea behind it.
Yeah, here's Black Frankenstein. It is a 1973 R-rated. Eddie is a Vietnam veteran who loses his arms and legs when he steps on a landmine. A brilliant surgeon is able to remove limbs, but his jealous assistant switches the DNA injections, transforming him into a gigantic killer.
Nice.
All right, I'll check that out.
I'm down.
I'm not sure that that could be interesting, but yeah, it was Blackenstein.
Do you think that Booker T was a fan of Blackula? Because they kept saying, "Can you dig it?" and "sucka" a lot in this movie.
That's probably where he got it from.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, that is Blackula. I would recommend it, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely go out and check that. I'm happy you enjoyed that movie. And let's go ahead and hop to your film of the week, which was Night of the Lepus. Which is a word I had never heard of. Apparently, it's like Latin for hair. And hair is in rabbit, not as in hair. And when you hit. PG rating, again, kind of surprised. 1 hour and 28-minute runtime. Came out in 1972 as well. 4.2 on IMDb. And 8% on the tomato meter. And a 26 on the audience score. It stars Stuart Whitman, Janet Leigh, Rory Calhoun, and who is this? DeForest Kelly? Wow.
And Paul Fix.
And Paul Fix. So quite a cast. It is about giant, and this is verbatim what it says on IMDb, giant mutant rabbits terrorize the Southwest. So what did you think? Or I guess I'm supposed to go first because it was your film, Night of the Lepus. I was a little let down in some respects. I thought I wanted the rabbits to be bigger.
Well, I have a 75-inch screen, so they were huge.
I just meant like because they were supposed to, in this movie, I got the idea they were supposed to be the size of like wolves. And I wanted like cartoonish size rabbits. I wanted them, but with rabbits. I thought they relied a little too heavy on the slow motion run of the rabbits. That was it took up a lot of this movie. I would have liked some more deaths and maybe some just a little bit more gore in that. And I didn't think there was enough DeForest Kelly. So,
well, it goes without saying that there wasn't enough DeForest Kelly. He should have actually been the Stuart Whitaker of the movie.
I agree.
And run it.
Yes.
This film had me all over the place. Yeah. I felt sorry for some people's careers. Janet Leigh, you know, I guess Psycho can only take you so far. Being married to Tony Curtis. She was probably divorced from Tony Curtis by now, so I guess she was getting whatever she could get. This, of course, is after Star Trek, so I guess he was taking what he could get.
Yep.
I mean, Shatner was living in a car at this time, so he was probably glad to be working, with whether it was with bunnies or not. And then, well, then Roy Calhoun, that was kind of, he's from one of my favorite horror movies, Motel Hell. He's the innkeeper, Motel Hell. But then the fact that they just put a camera on the ground and filmed bunnies like they were big was gold again. I absolutely thought that was hilarious. They didn't try to make any silly looking animation or claymation or special effects. They just said, look, if we shoot really close and on the ground, it's going to make the bunny look big. Let's build some miniatures. And we got it. And we got a movie. I thought this was hilarious. I enjoyed the whole thing. Definitely could have needed more things. And that's why the minute I turned this off, in my head I went, I'm putting this up for nomination of Needs a Remake.
Okay.
I need big stars. I need a big director. And I need some, like you said, now we got some CGI, we got some other stuff. I want some bigger bunnies. And we need to redo this thing. Because what's more terrorizing than a bunny? They're so horrible. But, man, we used that one when they kept going up close to its teeth. And it was like, that was hilarious. Yeah. This was bad, absolutely. Duh, no kidding. When I picked it, I knew it was going to be. That's why I picked it. But I ended up enjoying the hell out of it.
I commented to the wife. I think she was kind of in the background while it was on. And I said, this must have been one of the most fun sets to be on. Like, because all they did
now,
was...
Now, wait a minute. Was it, or was it full of a bunch of drinkers that just were trying to get that money?
Well, maybe here's what I mean. From a director or like... What are we doing today? We're releasing a bunch of bunnies and we're going to put a camera on the ground. Okay.
Well, crew probably had fun.
Yeah, the crew probably had fun. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like you said, I mean, this movie features two Oscar nominees. Two people who were nominated for Oscars were in this movie. I was very sad. Mystery Science Theater, the crew, they do, you know, riff tracks now. And they did do a riff track of this, but I found it, but it wasn't one of the free ones, and I didn't feel like paying the money to do their riff tracks. But they do have one for anyone that wants to go listen to this.
They would have to have one of those.
Yeah, yeah, they have that. You didn't think the slow motion, they overdid it?
Oh, absolutely they overdid
it. Okay.
And they probably added that in editing when they came up with a 62-minute movie or something, so they had to stretch that bad boy out a little bit. There were even some scenes that seemed like they were maybe filmed afterwards. Characters looked a little different, and it really didn't add anything to the plot, and that is in quotations.
It was a decent... Well, they also had a lot of B-footage they were using, clearly, of just, like, they had found from Australia about, you know, rabbits attacking the rabbit, which rabbit fence, we did that movie. So.
I was getting ready to mention that. Now, also... It was kind of interesting to hear that way back then that was a thing. Because, you know, we watched that movie. I told you I'd never heard of that. And I've watched tons of documentaries on Australia and had never heard of this. So about the rabbit-proof fence. So, yeah, when it first came on, the bunnies were hitting that fence. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, it was Halloween. It was a silly, fun, horror movie.
It was fun.
It was hard. You know,
I think so. It's a genre. It's a shot. I'm sure there's someone in the world that has some kind of weird bunny phobia and thinks this is the scariest movie on the face of the earth.
I like these bunnies better than Donnie Darko's bunny.
So this is the third? Because we did Beaster Day. We did this, and we did another one, if I'm remembering correctly. Or is it Donnie Darko I'm thinking of? I thought we did another bunny-themed horror movie.
That seemed like we did another bunny movie, but I can't think of what it would be.
I'll pull it up and look. But
I guess eventually we'll have to do Fatal Attraction. wrap up our buddy movies.
Oh, man. But yeah, it was, I wish it would, I wanted a little more from this, but this is one of those, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you've watched a couple movies. And
did you watch the trailer?
I did not watch the trailer.
This went on sale on Vudu.
Okay. On
one of those, you know, every Friday I look forward to my $4.99 weekend deals. That's how I get these crazy movies that I end up buying. And I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of this. And then I decided to watch the trailer. The trailer was absolutely hilarious. The trailer and Dr. McCoy sold me. That's why we got this movie. But, you know, it was what it was. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, not too shabby, not too shabby. Well, let's get to our main feature. A movie I've never seen before, actually. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Rated R, 1 hour and 36 minute runtime. 1987 is when it came out. It has a 6.6 on IMDb, a 72 on the tomato meter, a 68 from the audience score. Not directed by Wes Craven, but he does write and produce it. Directed by Chuck Russell. Stars Heather
Langenkamp.
Thank you. Craig Wasson. Patricia Arquette, which I was not expecting to see. Robert Englund. Some other people you'd never heard of, but more importantly, quote-unquote, Larry Fishburne. And John Saxton. So some of the original cast coming back for Dream Warriors. And basically this time there is a ward where there's a bunch of kids who are having dream issues and at a mental hospital, basically, and they're dying off, and they've all said they've seen the same bad guy and no one believes them. What did you think of Nightmare on Elm Street 3?
Well, I really wanted to watch this again because I've seen it. I saw it in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it when it came on video.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it some other time. And I never could tell if it was just because I always had the hots for Patricia Arquette. But this held up. This is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
I was going to say the same thing. This might be the best one.
This has always been my favorite. Yes, I love the first one because of the setup of it and the characters and the dark feel. That's because the second one really kind of almost ruined it. I didn't like the second one. He still had the silly little comments in this one that I know a lot of people hated that are true horror fans. But these were funny ones. These were damn good ones. And the stuff he did these two, this had the best deaths. This had the most original stuff. I liked the cast. I liked the setting. I like how they worked the main character back in, that she was now mm-hmm. helping people out with mm-hmm. this, even through her alcoholic pops. It was no help whatsoever in it. And yes, again, Patricia Arquette was looking adorable in this. I was glad that when I was done, I was like, this is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, this was great. I loved, like I said, I loved the effects. They were fantastic. The deaths were inventive. This movie truly showed why Freddy is, you can keep your Michaels, you can keep your Jasons, and you have Pinheads and Chucky. Freddy's king. Freddy's the best because he's got his edge where he can be scary, and he also has that smarmy attitude where he can be a little cocky and be a smart ass. And then he's also got just the most unique ability to fuck with people, because you're in your dreams, you're asleep, and he can use that against you to go again to whatever you're afraid of. He can do it, and you can do the most inventive stuff with it.
Yes.
That's why Freddy's the best.
I mean, because they even always play, and some people think it's overplayed, but I like how they do the coming out of the dream, but they're not out of the dream. You think, they do that really good with this one. The deaths were, I mean, getting pulled into the television, and Ruben, what's her first name? I can't think of her first name. The girl that
Jennifer Jackson, Jennifer Rubin.
Jennifer Rubin. Yeah. Love her when he did his hands becoming hypodermic needles and her little skin was asking for the drugs. Oh man, so, yeah, this is a great movie.
Yeah, this was excellent, and it showed the logical progression of the series. Because, you know, most of these, when you have these sequels, it's just, we're just going to make another movie. But right. This one had the logical progression, not only with the characters, but also in-universe using their kayfabe, where it's like, well, now you can learn how to use dreams to fight back. Because you're in a dream world, and you have to realize you're in it, and you have to try and use that. So that made the most sense.
This is their Wrath of Khan. It got them back on track from two, and it's their best one. This is their pinnacle to me. I like most of them, even the ones that people say are bad. I still like them because, like you, I like Freddy. I think Freddy is just a bad mofo. The dream thing is the best thing to work with because he's not. The Michael thing you have to kind of suspend, well, it's this big superpower thing. And it goes back and forth. Sometimes he seems to have superpower and sometimes he doesn't. And, you know, it's just, I like the fact that you can mess with people in their dreams because it does open you up to whatever you want to do. Because in your dreams, Lord have mercy, what can happen. I loved the scene when he was being the puppeteer.
Yes, that was great.
It was so inventive. This is a good movie. Period. Yeah. I don't hear anyone tell me this is not the best Nightmare because it is.
Yeah. When he was like moving him around and you saw his veins and stuff coming out, that was excellent. He chased a guy in a wheelchair down with a giant wheelchair of death, spiky wheelchair. That was great. Where's my fucking bourbon was a great line where he was messing with the mom. obviously the acting was terrible, but.
I didn't think the acting was horrible.
It wasn't good.
Patricia Arquette did her job. She had not reached the Alabama Whirly stage, but
no. And now what threw me off, I will say this: the whole time I'm watching this movie, Craig Wasson or whatever his name is, the doctor.
Yeah.
That motherfucker looked like Bill Maher.
He did. I didn't think of that. He did.
I was like, they should have had Bill Maher in this movie the whole time.
He might have been a little too young at that time.
But yeah, that's all I kept thinking. I was like, man, he looks like Bill Maher. This was great. Great, great, great. Fun. It was fun. And creepy. I like slashers. I'm not saying slashers is the scariest movie, but I just like finding ways to be inventive with killing people off. I think those are the best quote unquote horror movies. Now, are they going to scare me the most? No, but I don't like to be scared. Being scared. Well, being scared is scary.
That's what it's all about.
So yeah, I agree with you. I think this might be the best one. And it's weird because, you know, Wes Craven had very little to do with it.
I don't know.
But you know what? You know what? Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie. And guess what? George Lucas had the least amount to do with that one. So.
And we are, and have had conversations, the production designer of this movie.
That's right.
Mitch Strawn. He wrote the book Beyond the Screams. It's a mindless plug for him. I'll be expecting my check in the mail. So go buy his book. It's fantastic. Tells you, the production. So I actually looked at that stuff. I read, you know, what a production person does and how they set up so that I could look and see his work. Did it add to it? Absolutely. The sets were fantastic. The way it was produced, the whole thing was a good movie, period. Done.
Oh, we forgot to mention a great death or a part of a great death. When Zsa Zsa Gabor is on the night show and he's like, no one gives a fuck what you think. And he's in the TV. It was great.
Yes, I guess Dick Cavett had nothing better to do than to do this. But yeah, I'm glad they got Dick Cavett and Zsa Zsa. That was a hilarious couple. It was fun. It was, you know, you say it's the third one, so how can you say it was original? Because it was. It didn't do the same old thing. He wasn't walking around the school. He wasn't scraping on the pipes. He wasn't, you know, all that. They changed it up a little bit.
What did you think of his mom and her role in it? And that backstory.
I mean, I could have done without it.
Okay.
You get it later in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes actually the whole part of the movie is why they why they killed this guy and why he was what he was and her being raped and blah blah. So, but I mean, it didn't detract from it. I wasn't mad at it. It didn't go, oh, it ruined the movie for me. But
well, I would say the weakest part of the film was when he went and did when they had the skeleton scene where.
The claymation wasn't the greatest.
That was the weakest part of the film.
Yeah. That could have been George Lucas. They could George Lucas that and reshoot it.
Right. Yeah, that was not great.
No.
Okay. Well, are you ready, sir, to get into next week? I thought that we did a great job with our opening horror movie for October.
Well, the only problem is when I was going through things last night and today and writing things down, we need to do a podcast a day during October because there are so many. I want to watch that and I want to show them that and I want to review right. that. And we can only do, you know, what, 12? It's just.
Something like that, yeah.
It's horrible.
We do horror movies throughout the year, though, to be fair.
We do, but this is just the time of year where I just feel all... Because Halloween's my favorite time of year. It's in the fall. I love the whole feel of Halloween. So, yeah, but that's all right.
Okay.
One day when we're franchising this out and we have other podcasts, we'll have right. a whole crew that does nothing but horror movies every year, every month. That's all they'll do.
Absolutely.
Many of them out there, man.
There are too many, and they keep making more. That's like, it's probably the genre. I don't know why it's the genre people make the most of.
It's easy.
It's, yeah, it is.
Nah, yeah. It's really not, but.
No, but people just do a lot of stuff. Well, are you ready to get into what we're going to be watching next week?
Why not?
So I have decided, I think our main feature, which is available on Amazon Prime currently for free, should be Ju-on, The Grudge. So the original version.
The original one.
Yeah. So Ju-on, Ju-on, The Grudge is on Amazon Prime. That'll be our main feature. That way we hit a nice, you know, mid to or early 2000s one and kind of a different style.
But no Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That movie sucked.
There was a couple parts of it the scene, it's like an individual scene that was okay, but yeah, overall it did.
Yeah. Well,
you're watching from 2019, The Wretched.
Oh, I had a feeling when I saw that you'd watch that.
It was not the original plan. That was not the original plan.
And where can I find The Wretched?
You can find it on Amazon Prime?
Sure. I'll find it there.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Okay.
I couldn't remember the logo I clicked on. It was Hulu.
Well, you're going to be watching for my selection, and I believe it's on Netflix. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it is on Netflix, from 2016, a movie called Hush.
Hush. I've seen that. I mean, not seen it. I've seen the thing.
Yeah.
Is the chick from Modern Family in that?
Kate Siegel?
No.
That's what her name.
That may not be the right one, but I've seen the thumbprint for it.
It's got a great poster. Cool. Yes. That is what you. So I think we got a nice mix.
Well, we didn't go campy horror this week.
No. No.
Now next week, be prepared.
Is next week our 80s week? I got to figure that out.
Oh, I hope not, because I already had a movie picked out. That's well, fine. If not, then the week after, be prepared.
We'll figure it out.
What week are we doing two movies each?
None of them?
If you stop adding all these side projects.
Look, you know, things happen. Things happen. So Ju-on, The Wretched, and Hush. So I think that's a nice mix. I'm excited about that.
Every time you say that, I think of Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Why?
A Jew.
Ju-on. Yes.
Yeah, every time he sneezed. A Jew. A Jew.
I wanted to get an Asian for a film.
They need to put Dave Chappelle in a horror movie.
That'd be great.
It's Dave Chappelle. He'd be good in anything.
That's true. Can't
Why
argue.
Do like a new blaxploitation horror movie film and have like Kevin Hart and David Chappelle and Chris Rock, Tracy Morgan,
Daniel Couillet, whatever.
Yeah. What's the guy I really like? Cannibal Burris.
Oh, Cannibal Burris. Yeah.
Jay Farrow. I mean, dude, that writes itself.
A little too heavy on a comedy.
I'm going to get on the phone and see what I can do.
All right, you take care of that. Idris Elba. Chewy Tail Edgy 04.
Well, I want to keep it all comedians.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to show off that I can still remember how to say his name. That was
all right. Anyway, I'm hungry.
All right, well, you enjoy the rest of your day. And look forward to checking out these movies. We'll see you next week on a podcast named Tim.